Hello, my name is Sammy Jiu. I am the Asia Ministry Consultant at the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. Today, we're going to start the first episode of podcast and video interview for Asian American leaders in North Carolina. The purpose of this podcast and video interview is to gather and collect Asian American leaders and practitioners' ministry, to highlight their ministry and to share their ministry ideas and philosophies, and to connect and network leaders together to advance the kingdom together. Today we have a special guest, Pastor Jacob Park from First Korea Baptist Church, Raleigh, and he is the lead pastor of Living Hope, Raleigh. Hey Jacob, thanks so much for coming.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, so we're so excited to have a podcast with you, mm-hmm. and we have tons of questions, and we really want to get to know you. And we want to highlight your ministry and how God is using your ministry. And also we want to hear from your own ministry philosophy as Asian American leaders.
Thank you.
I want to really start with just introducing yourself. So we want to get to know your life in general. So my first question for you is where are you from and your family and those things. So can you say about yourself a little bit?
Yeah. So I was born and raised in Canada. Mm-hmm. I grew up actually all over the place. Mm-hmm. My dad was kind of a nomad. We would move every few years.
Oh, okay.
And so there isn't a major city, actually, I haven't lived in Canada other than Montreal.
Okay.
Just a bit of a nomad myself. Mm-hmm. Currently, I do serve, like you said, at First Korean Baptist Church mm-hmm. of Raleigh. Mm-hmm. Married to my wife, Flora, mm-hmm. and I have two little boys. One is 2.5, mm-hmm. and the other is 11 months old.
Wow, you must be handful.
Yeah, it's pretty busy.
Wow.
But it's a joy, and a bit of a... Yeah, it's a joy.
So, oh, that's great. That's great. Well, when did you come to United States?
It's been about 7 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. I actually took a very long path mm-hmm. to finish up seminary.
Mm-hmm.
Took me 13 years to get a 3-year degree, and so maybe I'm disqualified from this podcast now because I'm not the typical Asian that did well in school.
You're
but,
fine.
Yeah, I managed to finish at Gordon Conwell up in mm-hmm. The Boston area,
mm-hmm.
and you know, after finishing up there, I interviewed at a few different churches.
Mm-hmm.
Was actually hired at I think 4 different places.
Mm-hmm.
But I took the offer down here in Raleigh, North Carolina, because mm-hmm. I love the South. I actually lived
oh, really?
In the South
okay.
about 15 years ago.
Okay.
For a few years, and
okay.
Just really enjoyed the people.
Was it other state?
Yeah, it was down in Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, you are Korean-Canadian, right?
Yes.
What do you see the difference between Korean-Canadian and Korean-American?
Well, other than sometimes the way we speak,
mm-hmm.
I don't know too many people that actually say A, but it's, honestly, culturally, there aren't too many different things. I think just growing up as a second generation Asian
mm-hmm.
in a Western culture, you know, there's a lot of similarities in what we deal with, our strengths and our weaknesses, and, I don't know, hockey. Snow sports, you know, every Korean I know up in Canada knows how to snowboard and,
uh-huh.
you know, somewhat skate. But
mm-hmm.
There aren't too many glaring distinctions.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. Well, so your parents were originally from South Korea, right?
Yes.
So did they come as immigrants?
Right. Yeah, they immigrated in the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
My father actually he grew up a lot in rough places.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
you know, he was born of that generation.
Mm-hmm.
They were children during the Korean War.
Mm, wow.
And so I think his life was very shaped and impacted
mm-hmm.
by that.
Okay.
But then when he was a young man, he actually went to Vietnam.
Oh, really?
And
okay.
served, you know, a tour there. And,
wow.
After his tour in Vietnam. Yeah, he was actually promised training and a job here
mm-hmm.
in Canada because he showed aptitude for
mm.
Engineering and stuff like that. So he's
mm-hmm.
actually an engineer with General Motors
okay.
in Ontario.
Mm, wow.
That's how he came
that's
to Canada.
Yeah. Awesome. That's great. Well, can you tell us about your just spiritual journey? How did you come to Christ?
That's yeah, it's quite a journey, but mm-hmm. It's probably when I was in, actually I know for sure it was right before high school started. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up in a typical Christian household. Mm-hmm. My parents, you know, they just really didn't go to church very much. Mm-hmm. Up until I was maybe grade 5 or grade 6.
Oh, okay.
And then my mom was saved, mm-hmm. and then our lives all just got turned upside down. I mean, really? She was the typical Korean mm-hmm. ajumma that went to church, and she would wake up at 5 a.m., and, wow. you know, then she would pray over me at, like, 5 a.m., and mm-hmm. she'd think I was sleeping, but I wasn't, and mm-hmm. I just remember her morning breath.
Yeah.
And she'd be, like, you know, praying over me with her hand on me, and I'd be thinking, oh, how bad of a kid does she think I am that she needs to pray for me this much? And then she would go to church mm-hmm. for a good hour and a half, and then right after church, she would go straight to our grocery store, which, mm-hmm. you know, my parents owned. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it was like that for a good few years, mm-hmm. and she'd drag me to church when she could. Mm-hmm. I hated it. Mm. I could not stand church growing up because the preaching was terrible. Just being frank, just being really okay. blunt.
Was it music, because of language? Or?
They did have youth pastors most of the time, okay. but I think a lot of those youth pastors, they were just kind of there because there was no one else they could put there. Mm. Unfortunately, I don't want to, you know, step on too many toes or be mean to the people that tried to pour into my life spiritually. But it just wasn't a very pleasant
Yeah.
experience growing up in those churches. I found no relevance between Jesus Christ, the Bible, and what was going on in my life at that time. So that was just I think a lot of kids maybe go through that even today.
Yeah.
I came to know Jesus Christ actually right after middle school, so right before high school, at a retreat in Three Hills, Alberta, for anyone out there who knows Canada. Prairie Revival Institute, there's a Bible college out there.
Okay.
But every summer they would have a big youth conference, and I went to one, and lo and behold, Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Oh.
Yeah, wow. Back in the days of his long rock style hair, and his style of music was, you know, very, very contemporary. Mm-hmm. He was leading praise. That's all I remember. Mm. I remember one message where the preacher was talking about how God was the perfect father, and how our earthly fathers, they're fallen, they do their best, but, you know, they're not perfected. And something really resonated in my heart, and I started to understand that, you know, my identity wasn't as a Korean or a Canadian, or it was as God's child.
Wow.
And
I love that.
Yeah, I just came to know Christ at that retreat. And the funny thing was, and I'm not, you know, I'm not super hyper charismatic or anything like that, but when I woke up the very next morning, so it was a night service, I woke up in the morning, and it was on my heart, just very, very crystal clear, that God wanted me to be a pastor.
Oh. Okay.
And so I went to service that morning, saw the guy up there preaching, and I literally felt God telling me, you know, Jacob. Or back then I was known as Jay. I actually changed my name during high school. It was a legal name change. But, you know, Jacob, that's what you're going to do for the rest of your life. And I was like, no way. There's absolutely no way I'm going to do that. And I'm slow of speech. And I get nervous in front of more than two people. And, I'm not a very good kid either. I was a troublemaker.
Well, thank you.
not for the sake of being bad, but for the sake of, I was just really curious. But that gets you into a lot of trouble. Yeah, but that's a very long story, kind of short.
Wow. So you got saved and you got calling almost at the same time.
Almost at the same retreat. Time. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what was your original vision for your future? Like, what did you want to become? Before, you know, you received the God's call.
Before then, I just wanted to have fun. Seriously, I just wanted to play all the time. When I was in middle school, oh gosh, you know, during weekends in the summertime, I would leave the house with my skateboard and go hang out with my skateboarding buddies. I'd leave the house literally at the crack of dawn and wouldn't come back till...
So you're a very active kid.
Yeah, active. And now I think about that now. And you get thrown in juvie for doing, or your parents would get thrown in jail or something for letting your kid just wander about like that all the time. But, you know, those were my late elementary, middle school days, just skateboarding all the time. I thought maybe I'd be a professional skateboarder at some point or another.
Wow.
But yeah,
it's exciting to learn new things about it. That's great! Wow. Yeah. So the retreat was it a Korean Canadian retreat or was it just for everyone?
It was just for everyone. Okay. If it was just for Korean Canadians, I probably wouldn't have gone. Yeah, but it was just for. There's probably, I don't know, in my memory, probably well over 500 kids at the retreat.
Wow. It's
probably closer to 1,000 or so.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Did you have other kids coming out to dedicate their lives to be a
pastor? Yeah, yeah, it was like one of those big calls, and all these kids came forward back in the Billy Graham days, I guess.
I'm just curious, were you the only Asian
to
respond to that altar call at that time?
No. There must have been like a good dozen or so other kids. Okay. I mean, almost everyone from my church. Mm-hmm. And there was like two or three other churches there.
Okay.
And Korean churches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a huge conference. And our churches were all very small.
Okay.
The youth group sizes were probably around average, maybe 10.
Okay.
Yeah. 10 kids.
Mm-hmm. So when you received that call, did you share that with your parents right away? Or
no, I didn't share that. I mean, the first person to find out was my mom, and that was when I was in my freshman year of college.
Oh, okay.
So I did not want to do it. I just ran away from it. I tried to silence it. Gotcha. I make up excuses, all sorts of things, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So once you got into college and when you shared that vision to be a pastor with your parents at some point, were they very supportive to that idea as Asian parents, or did they have like other agenda?
They
like,
had other agendas.
To send you to be a doctor or a dentist. Or
I
something
think you
like
pick
that.
Up on it too. I mean, I look at my son today. I'm like, kid, don't be a pastor. Whatever you do, just don't do it. You know, it's not that bad, but it's something that I think you need to be called to, and you need to know it as well, because it's not an easy life. Right. So you know as well.
Yeah.
But my mom knew that. She was best friends with the pastor's wife, the senior pastor's wife. And when I told her, you know, she looked at me and she just goes, isn't there something else you can do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you just give on the side and work at other things? Because, you know, I guess she thought I had other potential, or she just didn't want me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I told her, you know, Mom, you prayed for me so much. And I thought you'd be happy that I'd be thinking about doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And her response was actually pretty funny. And she looked at me, she paused, and she goes, oh, in Korean, you know, she's just like, I guess I shouldn't have prayed so much for you, huh? I go, yeah, exactly, Mom, it's your fault, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to early morning prayer and praying for me all
that's
the time.
Right.
And
yeah.
The crack of dawn.
God answered all the prayers, right?
Yeah. You know, her prayer for me would be just like, you know, God, make my son a man of influence.
Mm-hmm.
And God, you know, I give my son to you, do what you want with him, and would he be obedient to you?
Mm-hmm.
Make him into a man after your heart.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I guess it kind of worked. I mean, I struggled still, obviously.
Yeah. That's great. So now, you're a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So are you happy? Are you satisfied?
Can we pause? <Just kidding. laughs> Yeah.
That's a big question. I mean, yeah.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's honestly, it's not easy. It isn't.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just lie awake at night and go, what in the world am I doing? But there is that satisfaction. You know, there's a joy the end of the day knowing that you're pursuing God's call in your life. And aside from all the junk that happens, and it does, because you're working with people, and people have all sorts of opinions and see things from all sorts of different angles.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing else I'd rather do.
Mm-hmm.
I say that, you know, a little bit of hesitation, but at the same time, you know, I know it's what God's called me to do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, that's great. Yeah, good to hear that. I have a lot of pastor friends, but Pastor Jacob, I really respect you as not just as a friend, but also as a pastor. Being faithful to share God's word, and it's just amazing to see how God is using you. In the next episodes, we're going to listen more about what you are concentrating on your PhD work to really see the Asian American leadership structure and how we can be better in terms of raising Asian American leaders as churches. So we're going to talk about that, and later on we're going to learn more about your ministry context as well. But thank you for being with us, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks, Pastor Sam.
Thank you.